greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, we've got a full slate of craziness for you. From everything from weird-looking animation to Latino holidays to Slumdog Millionaires to sci-fi remakes. I think this is probably the most diverse week we've had in a while.
Absolutely, totally diverse, and it's so packed that we had to actually lose a segment of the show.
Yes, we actually had to cut some of the fat.
And the reason we have to lose it is because I got to get my butt back to watching the like 30 DVDs of movies I have to watch in the next 2 weeks so I can actually vote on them in critic organizations.
And if you would like to give Kevin some feedback on his complaints, there's an article up this week at filmschoolrejects.com about Kevin and where he laments over the sheer volume of free advanced screeners of all the movies that he gets that are not even in theaters yet. So feel free to go over there and tell them what you think, because everyone else is.
But there's a reason behind it. There's a reason for my complaints.
Right.
I mean, it's
a
valid.
Lot.
It's because they send us like everything in the last 2 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
And then we have like I have to vote on the Online Film Critics Society, and voting opens the day after Christmas, so I have to watch everything before then, and that's 2 weeks from now.
When do we vote for the Ohio Critics? That's the one I'm into.
Like a week later. I think the voting opens the first of the year. I mean, that's the problem. And so you have like 80 hours of DVDs to watch, including whatever's coming out in the theaters that you're going to press screenings for.
Right.
And it's just like all you're doing is write, and then you got to write reviews for them and everything. And I like getting the movies. I like seeing the movies. I just wish they would start rolling them out like in August to me, when they're, or September, when like Bangkok Dangerous was the only thing in theaters.
Right.
I could have been like, well, I'll watch three of the Oscar screeners.
Fair enough.
Know? So
cool. But anyways, we're going to get into some talking about some actual movies. But before we get to that, here's how you can get a hold of us. FatGuysOfTheMovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys of the Movies. We come right up. You can email us, FatGuysOfFilmSchoolRejects.com. We did get an email. We're going to talk about that, maybe mention that a little bit later.
Yeah. Or we'll talk about talking about it and then just completely forget
and then
to do it.
Not, yes, because that's how we roll.
Although we had a brilliant idea for James Bond, so we may have to remember that.
Excellent. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And check the voicemails. We got was some love from a publicist.
Some credit card solicitation. Which publicist?
No, it was an offer to go do the. I guess they had an event for the Mummy DVD release in LA.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it was like the day of.
It wasn't a. It wasn't a we'll fly you out. It was a I didn't realize 614 is an Ohio number, but if in case you're in LA, come
right.
by.
Right. Well, I mean, my cell phone number, which is what I use when I am in LA, or will use when I am in LA, is 440. But
it's also not also not an LA number.
It's not a 310. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Anywho, let's talk about some movies, shall we?
Ooh, yes.
All right, you can start us off, because I don't even know what these movies are.
Okay, the first one is Nothing Like the Holidays. A Puerto Rican family in Chicago gathers for the holidays, fights, and makes up.
You know what would be a great Christmas present for my parents? If you told me we're trying to have a baby.
A baby?
When am I going to have grandchildren? My mother had 10 at my age.
You guys should be up to 4, 5, 6, maybe 7, 8 kids.
Does your plumbing work?
25 years I've been begging you to cut down that ugly tree, and all of a sudden you got to do it right now?
Everybody, careful, stand back. You overcompensate a little bit, Dad. Right.
There's something I like to say. I'm leaving your father.
So did you see The Family Stone a couple years ago?
Maybe.
Maybe.
This sounds a lot like Home for the Holidays, though.
I know. You mentioned this again. I've never seen Home for the Holidays. Wasn't that like 10 years ago that came out?
Yeah, and it's a great movie, which I would highly recommend seeing instead of this Nothing Like the Holidays, despite the fact that I had not seen Nothing Like the Holidays.
Well, I'll tell you what. You send me a free screener, and I'll try and watch it before December 26th.
Okay, fair enough.
No, Nothing Like the Holidays. It's very, very much like The Family Stone, which was a sort of that dysfunctional, a whole bunch of group family gets together and they all get in fights and then they have to kind of make up and love each other. It's that kind of a movie, only they're Puerto Rican. And the only reason I bring it up is because it's like really, really Puerto Rican. I mean, it's like steeped with a lot of Puerto Rican traditions.
It's Puerto, but actual Puerto Rican. You're not just confusing Latino people for being all Puerto Rican, are you?
Honest to God, Puerto Ricans. Okay. I mean, they keep talking about, we're Puerto Rican and this is it, and they're in a Puerto Rican neighborhood. They got the Puerto Rican flag. So, I mean, it's one of those things that as I was watching it, while I, got into it, because everyone's family gets together and fights for the holidays anyways. Okay. I did watch it thinking, gosh, if I was Puerto Rican, I'd probably get a lot more of this, because it really, really seemed like it was made for, made for this, the guy who directed it. I don't know what his name is, but that's how much I cared about it. But it seemed like it was like really made for his family and kind of his experiences. And in that respect, for this sort of just the family getting together and fighting, it was okay. Uh-huh. I personally like the Family Stone better, but it was kind of the same kind of movie.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't know. I'm totally on the fence on this one. I think I'll just say kind of rocks so that no one accuses me of being a racist.
Wow. Wow. Bowing to pressure from the anti-racism groups out there that are always after us. Always.
Yeah.
So, but I'll put some prejudice down on this next movie, because I saw a trailer and anyways, it's called Delgo. And it stars Freddie Prinze Jr. and Chris Kattan in a CG animated adventure. And they didn't screen this one for critics, and you know what that means.
The princess doesn't need any new friends, Latte.
This is definitely the stupidest thing you have ever done.
Welcome to your new home, princess.
Your resistance in returning my daughter has left me no choice but to take aggressive action.
We cannot give him a princess we don't have.
Delgo?
At your service, Your Highness.
Soon the Noren will have a leader deserving of their adoration, and the Lakhmi will have an enemy deserving of their fear.
So, the only time I've heard of this movie was either seeing it on a list of releases, or seeing the trailer, which I tracked down on the internet, or having my
somebody
kids
wrote,
walk in the room.
Somebody wrote the title in the bathroom at the truck stop in between Cleveland and Columbus.
Nice. Yeah, well, no, that's really what it is. It's this movie that came out of nowhere. It's been in the works for years. And I don't think anybody cares about this movie. I don't even think the director's mother cares about this movie.
That's a tough deal.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. I saw the trailer on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
And it looks like a cheap video game. Like, you could literally follow the storyline of World of Warcraft and be more entertained than this movie.
Yeah, this one, it's obviously going to get a preemptive suck from me, and it has to from you by default. But I think that's probably going to be well-earned, the preemptive suck.
Yeah.
And it literally looks like kind of like a video game from like the 90s that was trying to be Final Fantasy.
Right.
That they then just made a movie. You know how the people will... There was this video game out a while back, like where you can build your own movie, actually. Build your own studio and then build your own movie. It looks like they just used that.
Movie Mogul or whatever. It was like The Sims, but in Hollywood. It had implants. It was great.
That seems like what it is. And it starts Freddie Prinze Jr. So, Jesus, come on.
Yeah, his career has gone downhill. Like, what little career he had in the first place... is gone. I still would like to reminisce about the days when he was doing She's
Scooby-Doo.
All That or Scooby-Doo. So, anyways, that one gets a total preemptive, huge suck. If you've even heard of this movie, just forget about it. Anyways, when we come back, we're going to talk about two movies you probably have heard of.
Yeah.
And we're back here on Fat Guys the Movies, and we roll from two movies that you may or may not have heard of. One, we hope you just completely blocked out of your mind. On to two movies that you've definitely heard of.
I would imagine
one,
if you're bothering to listen to our show, you've heard of these movies.
Yeah, one is a remake of a sci-fi classic, and another is probably the most buzzed about movie of the year so far.
Maybe.
Or buzzed about indie.
One of the few buzzed about movies of the year.
Right. Right. So, but we'll start with the sci-fi classic remake, which is The Day the Earth Stood Still, in which Keanu Reeves plays an alien who comes to Earth with a message of doom and gloom because of how we handled our environment.
I'm going to ask you a series of control questions. Are you currently in a seated position?
Yes.
Do you feel pain?
My body does.
Are you human?
My body is.
Are you aware of an impending attack on the planet Earth?
If the Earth dies, you die. If you die, the Earth survives.
Now, here's the thing with Keanu Reeves as Klaatu from The Day the Earth Stood Still. It is the perfect role for him. He plays an alien who doesn't talk much and shows no emotion. This is...
And is very... he's very confused about his body.
Yeah, he's just like, whoa, yeah. I'm coming down from the skies. You know, and it is the perfect role for Keanu Reeves because...
Whoa.
I mean, because the guy really can't act. Let's face it, nobody thinks that this guy can act except maybe Keanu's agent, and I don't even think that's true. So, this is his movie. You know me, Neil, and we actually saw the original Day the Earth Stood Still together at the Science Fiction
on the big
marathon.
Screen.
Yeah,
it was great. Which I like this movie. Well,
wait,
the old one.
The old one.
Yeah.
And one of the things some people were complaining about with the new movie is they're like, well, it really preaches, and you know me, I hate preaching in movies, whether I agree with it or not, but. I was okay. All the things that I took issue with this movie, I'm actually okay about because I thought it mm-hmm. was really preachy. It kind of had this goofy relationship between the Klaatu and the woman, and it has this crappy little kid in there with these ridiculous hair. But the reason I forgave all that is because it's a true adaptation of the original. The original was incredibly preachy. The original, literally at the end, Michael Rennie gets up and preaches to people about how they should live their lives and don't proliferate nuclear weapons or we'll destroy you. And they did have a kid in this movie, and it really kind of hit the beats from the original film, which I'm not a big fan of, but at least I respect the fact that it paid homage to that. So when it preaches and has a dumb kid in it, I'm like, well, you know, that was in the original.
Well, here's where I have to disagree with you, because I don't think it captures the same... I don't think it's a very good adaptation of the original in the sense that, for one, sure, it gets the idea. And I don't really, honestly, I didn't think that this one was as preachy as the first one, you know, as the original. This one,
no, it's not.
It really just kind of stumbles along and lets you figure out why this alien has come to Earth. And,
well, I don't know if I'd say they just let you figure it out.
But I think people are, it's the same kind of generic message the first one had. People mm-hmm. are just going to draw, you know, more of an environmental
Well,
side
no,
out
he
of it,
pretty
I
much
guess.
Comes out and says, you guys are destroying the environment and you'll never stop, so that's why we're going to wipe you out.
Right.
He does say that.
I mean, but, you know, that I guess that doesn't bother me. Maybe I've become, you know...
Oh, you're just a big tree hugger.
Immune
hippie.
To it. but here, there's a couple problems that I had with this movie as a big fan of the original.
That ridiculous hairdo on Will Smith's son.
not even. One was I really felt as if they kind of took the character of Gort almost out of the movie in the sense.
Well, they kind of did in the original too, because they encased him in carbonite or whatever they put him
Well,
in.
Yeah, but I really felt like in the first movie or in the original, he's more of a character. He has you know, more weight on the story, whereas, you know, in this particular instance, I don't want to give anything away. He's there. He blows some stuff up early, and then he just kind of fades away, metaphorically. And I thought that, you know, they could have done more with that. I thought this movie was good for the first two acts. And then in the last act with the ending, it really, really just falls apart.
Oh, definitely. And that first third is a really good sort of epic science fiction alien invasion. I mean, it's along the lines of Independence Day and War of the Worlds.
But I think the way it ends is just very abrupt and dumb. And I really got the feeling while I was watching this movie that there was a serious lack of scale. And you mentioned Independence Day. When I saw Independence Day, no matter how cheesy you think that movie is,
I love
you really do
Day.
Feel the impending doom of the planet Earth.
Yeah.
And with this Day the Earth Stood Still.
You feel the impending doom of Keanu Reeves' career?
I felt the impending doom of like Central Park, maybe New York, you know, and the other one,
there's quite a bit of doom that comes out in this movie. I mean,
well, it's kind of the same scale as the original, but I feel like they wasted the opportunity to make it a lot bigger. Yeah. And they wasted the opportunity to make the effects that much, you know, better. We've come 57 years since the last one, and this one isn't really that much better.
Well, I didn't think the effects of all the stuff that you would expect effects are were pretty cool. What really got bothered me on the effects were the CGI helicopters that were flying around through the entire movie. I don't think there was a real helicopter in there at all. I think they brought Robert Rodriguez in and shot it Sin City style with fake helicopters even when they're inside of them.
Yeah, and really, I think, honestly, it doesn't add anything to the legacy of the original. It really is just a shiny new toy. You know, it just happens to share a name with the original, I felt.
I'm gonna go out and say this. It's a movie that when they made it, you can tell they were like, this is going to make people think. Don't do
and
that.
And it doesn't.
Do not try and think, because you'll be like, wait, there's a lot of mixed moralities. They're going to destroy the people, but they're like saving people. And then, wait, what's going on here? And why is this guy here? And where'd he come from? And wait, that doesn't make sense at all. And, you know, why are they just getting eels and squid? And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things and questions in this movie that will make your head hurt if you try and figure them out. But if you go in and you take some stupid pills and you're like, wow, look at the giant sphere, and that's kind of cool, and look, a giant robot, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, take your stupid pills and go see it, because this one sucks.
Oh, you're giving a full-on suck?
Full sucks.
Gosh, you know what?
Because I'm an angry fan.
Racism be damned. I'm changing my Nothing Like the Holidays to a kind of sucks, because I think it was a long... I can't give it a higher grade than The Day the Earth Stood Still, but I really can't give Day the Earth Stood Still any kind of a rocks outside of the first 30, 40 minutes.
So then what are you giving it?
They're both kind of sucks.
Okay, they're both kind of sucks. Cool. Well, let's move on to the next one, since we just spent a lot of time talking about that one.
Yes. This is Slumdog Millionaire, Danny Boyle's award-nominated film about an Indian boy from the slums who attempts to win 20 million rupees in a game show.
Welcome to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? On an American $100 bill.
Smile!
There is a portrait of which American statesman?
Benjamin Franklin.
You're absolutely right!
Professors, doctors, lawyers never get beyond 16,000 rupees.
He's on 10 million.
Remember, if you answer wrong,
let me go!
You lose everything. Just like this.
Now, I had the chance to watch the first half of this movie.
With one of those award screeners I was complaining about?
Yeah, with one of those award screeners. So I'm going to go watch the second half after we're done recording. But from what I gather in the first half, it's a very, very good movie. It's a very engaging story, and it's got a very unique visual style. And I really, one of the things that stood out for me so far is the soundtrack. It's got a fantastic soundtrack to it, and it has this way of moving through the story, you know, because it's done back and forth. You know, basically this kid has won.
He's basically almost winning Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And they think they think he's cheating.
Right, so they're interrogating him, and he's kind of telling back his life story and showing how he knew the answers to these questions.
Yeah, and how all the questions are sort of like they just happen to fit something that he knows.
Right, some sort of anecdote of his life.
It's a brilliantly done piece, and I'll tell you this, I love anything Danny Boyle does. He's one of my favorite directors. And this one, it's... whatever you think it's going to be, it's not going to be what you think it is, but in a good way. And it gets better as it goes on. I mean, you're sort of interesting, and then you sort of see how things are lining up and getting together. And there's certain parts that are somewhat predictable, but, you know, like a lot of the Bollywood type of stuff that's coming over now, you get into sort of the little bit of the schmaltziness of the story that emerges. It's a good movie. I don't know if I'd call it best of the year, but it's definitely it rocks.
Yeah, it definitely rocks, at least the first half. So, what can I say? I didn't have enough time to watch the whole thing. I'm told off the air by Kevin Carr that it gets even better in the second half.
You should listen to him. He's a smart man.
This is one of those, you know, potential top 10 movies, I think. And, you know, it's winning a ton of awards, so who knows?
Right up there with the hits Son of Rambo and Australia that you loved.
Nice. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about more movies or something.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And we're back on Fat Guys the Movies. Now that we've rolled through all four releases,
sort of,
and given them grades, I suppose. Yeah, we kind of, I don't know. I saw 1.5 of this week's four.
Literally saw 1.5.
Literally 1.5.
And I've seen three of them. Nobody saw Delgo.
No, I don't think anyone is going to see Delgo.
I'm going to be taking my kids. My kids want to see it. But then again, they're 7 and 5, so, I mean, they're not exactly the
They're
going to
love it.
Critical.
Your kids love every movie.
Well, my son also, my oldest son, he didn't like Iron Man, though. He thought it was boring. Too much kissing.
Whatever.
But I'm going to take him to see The Day the Earth Stood Still. Because, you know, let me just say this about The Day the Earth Stood Still. That's kind of how I went in and watched the movie, because he wants to see it. And he's 7. So, you know, you don't want it to be, you know, you don't want them, like, you know, slaughtering kittens on screen and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, maybe you do, but
that might be fun.
So I'm watching and going, yeah, it's preachy and yeah, it's got this, but he'll identify with the kid and he's not going to get the preachiness. He's just going to see this, wow, look at this giant sphere and this guy's pretty cool. And so I kind of looked at it from a kid's point of view and I'm like, well, you know, if you got the mental capacity of a 7-year-old, you'll like it.
And or you could star in it.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That's right. Yes. Reeves. Keanu Reeves.
I will say this, though. Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
Dead ringer for his father.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. If you ever see a thing in there where like Jada Smith is like, oh, you know, he's not really his dad. I'm like, gee, yeah, he is. I can just tell by looking at the kid's face because he looks just like his dad.
Yeah. Which, you know, good for him.
And by his dad, I'm talking about Brian Gibson from Film School Rejects, not Will Smith.
Anyways, moving on to the Indie Spotlight of the Week. We've got, you know, we're going to talk Golden Globes later, and we'll talk about, of course, Heath Ledger, but Heath Ledger's former ex-wife, Williams.
It's not that they got divorced. They got sort of divorced by death.
No, they were divorced, weren't they?
Were they divorced? Or did they even get married? Divorced. They didn't even get married, or were they sort of like that?
She's the mother of his child, Matilda.
Okay, she's his baby mama.
She's his baby mama. But she's also a fairly accomplished actress. I've enjoyed a few of her recent films.
Some of the huge things like Deception?
Well, no, not Deception. No, she did this movie that I saw at Sundance called Incendiary, which is not released yet. And she was fantastic in it.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to get a screener and need to watch it before next week.
Yeah, so that you can also hate it. But this one's called Wendy and Lucy, and I don't know exactly what it's about. It's about a woman who's traveling, right?
I fell asleep while you were talking about it, just mentioning the name.
Nice. But it's about a woman whose life is derailed when she's en route to find a job, right?
You're just reading this off the internet. It's basically she's trying to get to Alaska to find work, and she's traveling with her dog, and then she loses her dog.
Right,
and
she's Wendy and the dog's Lucy.
And she walks around a lot.
Okay. Cool.
No, this one, I watched this because it came out this week in like New York, LA, and like San Francisco or something like that. It's going for an award grab. This is one of these like raw, independent, seems like a very guerrilla style, grassroots kind of film that, and I said to my wife, who watched it with me, who hated it. I mean, she was enraged with this movie by the end because she was so bored. And I said, well, Neil's probably going to love it because you tend to like those sort of cinema verite, kind of let's just see stuff happen in front of the camera and flop around like a dead
fish. I like
fish.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, you love that. So if you're Neil Miller or you enjoy watching paint dry, you're going to love this movie. Here's the problem with it. It's a 15-minute story. She literally just like loses the dog, and that is the story. And it's her just kind of moping around, going to the pound, calling the pound, "Hey, do you have my dog yet?" And walking around the woods, going, "Lucy, loose." And that's literally the movie. Okay. And she's an idiot too, because she's like traveling to Alaska, and the reason she I'm going to spoil this, but the reason she loses the dog is because she goes to shoplift dog food. She's got like $500, which is going to get her to Alaska, but she shoplifts dog food and gets arrested. And while she's getting out the dog, because she had tied it up outside of the grocery store, and then she can't find the dog. I just spoiled the entire movie for you.
Thank you.
That all happens in like the first 15 minutes, but pretty much that's the whole movie.
Can't wait to now see this movie that I know what happens.
And she walks around a lot.
I'm sure it's going to be great though, just to spite you.
My DVD player has this function that if you hit it, it's like called fast speed, and it'll play it at like 150%. And the movie's already only like an hour and 25 minutes. So I hit fast speed. So it's literally going to play for less than an hour.
Uh-huh.
And I was bored with it, going like at 50% faster than it should.
I wish my Blu-ray player had that so that I could do that with my DVDs. That would make Oscar season so much more bearable.
It'll make it 50% faster.
How cool would that be?
You know what I need to do? I need to watch... I got a screener for Bigger, Faster, Stronger. I need to watch that in fast mode.
Because then it'll be bigger, faster, stronger, literally faster.
Come to your place and watch it on your 9,000-inch TV. Bring my DVD player. Watch it in 50% faster. So it'd be bigger, faster, and then, I don't know, maybe like lacquer the DVD so it'd be stronger.
High definition a year.
Yeah. It'd be bigger and faster at least.
Nice. Okay, cool. Time to move on to box office. Now that we've
Wendy and Lucy sucked, by the way.
Okay.
And you you can brush the sand out of your vagina and then come on next week and say, no, it's a good movie.
I will. Well, the last time I did that and claimed that a movie was going to be great after you said it sucked, I had to eat my own words.
That was Death of a President.
Yes.
Yeah. You like bought it too. You like I bought the DVD because I want to see George Bush get shot.
Yeah, and it wasn't that good. Yeah. So hopefully this time I will actually, this will turn out to be good.
Yeah. I think you'll like it, because it's totally, but I'll tell you, way more happens in the whackness than this movie.
Oh, wow. See? And that's saying a lot from you.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of movies, speaking of things that were not good, let's talk about Punisher Warzone.
That bombed.
At the box office last week, and it's epic bomb. I would say. Yeah, I don't know.
Neither of us predicted that it was going to do any good.
Right. It finished eighth, which is probably higher than it should have finished.
Yeah.
Right above Cadillac Records, which, you know, Cadillac Records, let's put it in perspective. Cadillac Records made $3.4 million. Punisher Warzone made $4.2 million. And Cadillac Records was only in 680 theaters, whereas Punisher Warzone was in 2,500.
Yeah, it was in one quarter of the theaters, and it almost made as much money.
Yeah, and that's a movie that is headlined by Beyonce.
Well, and to
so
put
there.
It in, put it in even more perspective, Milk made about 40% of what Punisher Warzone did, and it was in only like 100 theaters.
Yeah, exactly.
So
there you go. That's what you get for making a crappy movie.
Yeah. I liked it to a degree.
I don't know. I guess it wasn't as fun as everybody thought it would be. Yeah.
So basically, like the top five was just a repeat of the weekend
before.
Four
Christmases, Twilight, Bolt, Australia, and Quantum of Solace. So, but hopefully this week, I have a feeling this week it's going to change, because I think despite my earlier statements about The Day the Earth Stood Still and how bad it is, I have a feeling it's going to make a lot of money.
Oh, it'll be number one this week. Easy. Because the only one in contention would be Four Christmases, which has already been out for 2 weeks.
Right. So I really think it's, and I think it's going to be big separation. I think, you know, Day of the Earth is still maybe 20, 25 million, and then everybody else under 15, like well under 15.
Unless Delgo comes in and like makes $500 million. It'll beat The Dark Knight. I predict that Delgo is going to beat The Dark Knight in domestic gross.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Wait, what? Did you just say what I think you just said?
Yes.
About
it's gonna
The Dark
be a,
Knight?
Yeah, in the last 3 weeks of the year, too.
That's fantastic.
It's just everyone on the planet's going to go see Delgo because Chris Kattan's in it.
And there, everyone in the planet's been wondering whatever happened to Chris Kattan.
I have a funny story about Chris Kattan. This would not be admissible.
Quick. We got to talk about other stuff.
Okay, quick. But this is not admissible in court because it is sort of hearsay. But one of the radio show hosts I know was telling me that he was doing an interview with Chris Kattan for Delgo, and he had all these questions. And Chris Kattan's like, I don't know anything about the movie. I just wanted to be in a movie, an animated movie for my kids.
Wow. He has kids?
I think
he
so.
He has procreated with someone?
Oh, yeah.
That's odd. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so Kevin's claim is that Delgo will make more money than The Dark Knight. Speaking of The Dark Knight...
I'm not talking about the same time frame. It'll make more money...
Eventually?
Delgo, in its run, will make more money than The Dark Knight did at 3 a.m. 6 weeks after it released.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of The Dark Knight, the 66th annual... Golden Globe Awards nominees were released today, and The Dark Knight was curiously absent from a lot of categories, except for the one that we expect it to be nominated, Heath Ledger, Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the Golden Globes is also known as the Stuffy Farty Foreign Press People.
Right, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association's awards. And so, you know, just a quick rundown of the Best Picture. You have Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, The Reader, Revolutionary Road, and Slumdog Millionaire, which we just talked about.
Of all those, Slumdog should win, I think. But
yeah, well, and I've got to watch Revolutionary Road, and but you know, it's really tough because I really like Frost Nixon. I think Frost Nixon's probably...
I think it's going to be between Curious Benjamin Button and Frost Nixon. I think what it's going to be between.
I think Benjamin Button is getting the response like it should win a lot of awards. I really am disappointed The Dark Knight didn't at least get a nomination. I will understand if The Dark Knight doesn't win Best Picture.
Yeah.
You know, there are some fans out there who just won't understand that. But I personally will get it. But
these are the people that were like campaigning for people to go see the movie so it would be Titanic, which you're just kind of like, yeah, okay, come on.
Right. I honestly think it should be nominated because I honestly think it is in that top five of the year range. Mm. You know? So, whatever. A couple other notables.
Musical
Leonardo
comedy.
DiCaprio. Yeah. Well, hold on. I'll get to that one in a second. Leonardo DiCaprio, nominated for Revolutionary Road, against Frank Langella, Sean Penn, Brad Pitt for Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Everybody thought he was going to get snubbed, but he did get nominated, and Mickey Rourke. That's going to be a good category.
Yeah.
And then
I still think Sean Penn's going to win that.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, Tropic Thunder getting two nominations in the Best Supporting Actor category.
That's the coolest thing in the world.
taking on Heath Ledger's nomination, Robert Downey Jr. for his performance, and Tom Cruise,
which is
awesome.
Yeah. We got to wrap this up really quickly, but the other big surprise was In Bruges, which came out like in February.
I saw at Sundance, which really good movie. Didn't think it was going to get as much.
It's not going to win anything.
As much play.
I mean, it's an honor to be nominated, so to speak.
But yeah. How about that Tom Cruise?
That's cool.
Whatever.
Because he sure is not getting nominated for Valkyrie. With that, we got to go.
Exactly.
When we come back, DVDs. All right, welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are wrapping up, and the magical virtual studio in the sky is getting ready to hit critical mass with chaos and craziness going on. So
there's no chaos on my end.
Well, that's because you have no life. You're just sitting there watching DVDs of movies that you get for free and eating chicken wings.
Yes, lots. I do have some chicken wings coming up, but before I get to the chicken wings, we've got to do the DVD roundup. And I'm interested to hear your picks this week, and then I'm sure everyone will be interested to hear my picks.
Nobody cares about what you say. Well, let me start off by saying I got two for my picks of the week. The first one, let's start with the lesser of the two picks, is Horton Hears a Who. When you had WALL-E and Kung Fu Panda come out this summer, I think a lot of people forgot about Horton Hears a Who because those two movies were such great animated films that Horton just kind of got left behind, although it did very, very well. This is a great film. I loved it. It's one of the best Dr. Seuss adaptations ever. It kicks butt all over stuff like The Grinch and The Cat in the Hat. and it's CGI. It looks very Seussian, and it's a fun movie, great for kids, a great family movie, and yeah, I just can't talk more enough good stuff about it. And the DVD's pretty cool too. It's got a lot of neat stuff on it.
All right.
The other one I want to give a shout out to is Lost, the complete fourth season. Now, if you've never watched Lost before, don't start with this DVD. Go back and watch the first three seasons, because you'll literally watch the movie and you will be lost. But what's so brilliant about this movie is I've watched a lot of series on DVD, and by the time you get to seasons 3 and 4. You know, like they're like one or two commentaries and like a little special feature about the new character for that season. This thing has two discs of special features, including a recap of all like the pertinent flash forwards from the season, which you can watch in like 1 hour, getting ready for the premiere of the fifth season in January. Mm-hmm. It also has a mockumentary debunking the Oceanic Six, which if you watch the show, you know these are the people that supposedly survived the crash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this brilliant sort of like conspiracy theory documentary that's like sort of a joke within a joke. It's one of the funniest and most irreverent features I've ever seen on a DVD this year.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I'm down with that.
What are you down with this week?
My two picks, first of which is Man on Wire, which came out on DVD. It also got nominated for Documentary Golden Globe, and it's been winning all of the documentary awards so far. The International Documentary Association or whatever named it Best Documentary of the Year. One of my favorite films of the year. Absolutely should go out and see it. Get it. Buy it. This guy, Philippe Petit, is unbelievably interesting. So the man himself who walked in between the two towers back in the 70s.
Crazy. So, although I do think Dear Zachary is a better documentary, a more touching documentary.
All right, whatever.
That's me.
That's Kevin Hart. But the other one is The Day the Earth Stood Still, which was just re-released. We're not talking about the new one. We're talking about the original from 1951. And it was released on Blu-ray and regular DVD. Really good special features. Really interesting stuff about, you know, everything from the use of the theremin, which is the instrument used to make that very eerie tone that you
hear. For those of you out there
in
listener land, that was actually me making that noise. We didn't get a real theremin.
We don't actually have a theremin, unfortunately. Yeah. Though if we had one, it would be in our theme song.
It would be way cool.
Yeah. But it's a great DVD. There's a lot of really cool special features. Plus, the original Day the Earth Stood Still is a masterpiece of its time, I would say. So, and the one that I did not pick is The Dark Knight this week.
And why, pray tell, Mr. Neil Miller?
While it succeeds on many technical levels, especially the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray looks fantastic and all the IMAX shots and whatnot. And it's a great movie, one of my favorites of the year. These special features, I found them lacking, to say the least. I was angered, frustrated, upset, downtrodden by the lack of special features that pertain to this movie. There were a couple cool featurettes about like Batman's toys and tools, and then one about the psychology of Batman and some of the characters around him. But there was nothing aside from deleted scenes. There weren't any deleted scenes, but that's fine, whatever. There was no director commentary from Christopher Nolan. There was nothing that really showed us, you know, the creation of the Joker, nothing that showed us like how the makeup was applied. And
although
I did
hear that on select DVDs they did have a body part of Heath Ledger packaged with it.
Cute. Wow. I don't even know where to go from there. But there, you know, nothing that talked about what actually kind of happened in the development of the two villains. And I thought those were the two most interesting characters of the film. And it really
they're waiting for the
it made me sad.
They're waiting to when they have Egghead as the villain, they're gonna do all of that.
Fair enough. But yeah, I was completely disappointed with The Dark Knight. Doesn't make me happy.
The stinker of the week is Ultimate Chick Fights Volume 1 through 3. Because why reject one when you can reject all three girls beating each other up in their backyards?
At the same time.
Ooh.
Cool. All right, well, there you have DVD Roundup. Time to wrap up our reviews, and we'll start on the back end with Delgo, which gets a preemptive suck.
Preemptive sucko.
Because it They didn't screen it. Nothing like The Holidays. Kevin saw it and said...
Well, I actually changed my ruling to kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks. The Day the Earth Stood Still, which we both saw, and I said it totally sucks.
And I just said kind of sucks, but it's leaning towards kind of rocks if you have the mentality of a 7.
Yes. And Slumdog Millionaire, which the first half of which I thought rocks.
And it rocks.
It rocks. All right, cool. Next week, we've got Will Smith and 7 Pounds, The Tale of Despero, Yes Man, and The Wrestler. So in between now and then, if you'd like to figure us out, just go to fatguysinthemovies.com.